The Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
Here for the Cold Omaha Podcast Network, where I host Midwest Swing. You can find us on Twitter at Midwest Swing Pod. We are available on iTunes. We are available on Stitcher. And what are we going to do? We're going to talk about baseball and all other sports with a little bit of a Midwest twist to it. At times we'll be serious. At times we'll have fun. But ultimately, we just want to be a great podcast that Midwest people and people all over the country can listen to. That's Midwest Swing on the Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
Welcome to Cold Omaha's High School Hockey Podcast. It's the last one of the season. This feels great. Aww. Yeah. Well, it feels great. Bittersweet. Let's just put it like that. We got a lot to talk about today. We're going to recap the tournament a little bit and then talk about what you to expect next year with some players and some teams. And so that should be fun.
Joined
as always with Carl from the East Side.
As I am now known. Thanks, Pete Wagner.
and then... Tony Scott from the Youth Hockey Hub.
I'm here.
So let's first start off. This was a great tournament. We have a lot of shout outs of people to give. You know, we met a lot of people for the first time this weekend. And, you know, I'll start it off. I got to give a shout out to my man, John Buccigross, retweeted my Thin Mints tweet.
Solid.
Well done.
Carl and I saw some Girl Scouts cookies being sold outside of the X, and I was like, oh, I'm buying some Thin Mints. And then the best one was I offered Barry Melrose some Thin Mints.
Barry had no interest in Thin Mints.
He had no interest.
It's funny. Barry was in the press box, and remember the session where they had the Rice Krispie bars?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was literally, it's a visual I can't ever erase from my brain. He had two of them, and they're literally about the butt size of a brick.
Massive, yeah.
And he literally was like smashing it into his mouth, all over his beard. It was so solid.
Barry, well done.
That was one of the highlights of my life to meet that guy, because he's like the American Don Cherry.
Yeah. He was making love to a Rice Krispie bar. It was sick.
Oh God, man. That's good. Okay, how about you guys? Shout outs.
Well, I have to give a shout out to Pete Wagner and Bart Archer, because Pete mentioned Danny and I about 10 times on the air.
We're sitting right below him.
Yeah, so every time we reacted to something in the press box, oh, it's Danny and Carl from the East Side doing this. And
what was the best quote, Carl?
At some point, we missed the context, but we just hear Bart going off about something in an ice house in Nova Scotia.
Yeah, like he said an ice house in Nova Scotia, and we are like, what?
What are you saying?
Yeah, Bart can come up with some just randoms. I mean, that's a sign of a good color guy, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's like I do color commentary every once in a while in games. It's like, okay, I want to be colorful, but I don't want to be too colorful.
Oh, that's colorful.
I mean? There's a fine line in between. It's an art, that's for sure. All right, my shout out goes to Tim Kolominen from Moorhead, Minnesota. He does a lot of hockey.
Breakdown USA.
It was just fun to meet a guy who's super passionate. You know, kind of like one of the guys, but doesn't live in the Twin Cities. You don't see him every day. Mm-hmm. Met him. We took pictures together, shared some stuff together.
Talk about his camera, Tony.
Oh, he's got some wicked stuff. I mean, some of these camera people, I mean, it's crazy to watch them lug those things
around. That one as a weapon.
Yeah, I know. They're crazy. I just still have my little 7200 that crushed it pretty well last night. So I'm pretty proud of what I got last night, and it was great to meet Tim. It really was. Pleasure.
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. Okay, let's move on to class.
Let's talk some hockey, huh?
Yeah, let's talk some puck. Class AA, Friday night sesh. The one thing I want to talk about, the Grand Rapids Band. Okay. Was this not the... I'm a Grand Rapids homer.
Isn't that funny? We talk about Friday, and the first thing we turn to is the band. Because that was about the best moment of the tournament. Yeah. When they score two goals, we get to a TV timeout, and it's just rumbling in that place.
And it was
giving me the chills. It was so awesome. And they were going crazy, and then...
For that period, I went downstairs with some friends who were sitting very close to the Rapids section, and that was just awesome.
It was cool. It was something I won't forget from that. So that's one of my takeaways, is that band lighting that place. Too bad it didn't help, but I mean, because it kind of turned on them, you know, a couple minutes later when the middle stat shorty, and it was kind of over after
Casey's
that
show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a show. My goodness.
Casey put on a demonstration, but I going back to, I think I told you before the Thursday night session, Tony, it's like I waited since 2007 to see Rapids down here because of this, because of that momentum that they bring.
I know.
It was just exciting. But again, let's go talk about Casey Middlestad. How many points did he finish with?
12.
Which is, Carl, we did research on this.
So it's 1 point short of the highest total that anyone has in the two-class era, which is also the highest total anyone has since Mayasich.
Yeah.
So there are three people who have 13 points in a tournament. They're Jamie Langenbrenner and Sergei Petrov, his line mate, and then Dave Spihar in 96.
So
Casey was 1 point behind all them. I think he's tied with Braden.
Yeah. I mean, let's put that in perspective. Yeah. And Langenbrenner's all came from assists, okay?
Yeah. He had 10 assists.
Petrov,
Wasn't Petrov ruled ineligible after that?
Was he?
There was something. It was later on. It was later on or something. It was really an odd occurrence. Yeah.
So this tournament has to go down as the Casey show. I think this is what we'll go back and look at this tournament and say, this is Casey's tournament. This is the tournament that Casey lost, per se. But he won everybody over with his play.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, he was the most gifted player we've seen come on the stage here in a long time. You know?
Since probably Pat White doing his thing, but that's the Grand Rapids Homer.
He's giggling at Pat White. Pat White was a legend in that tournament. He was a legend. He became a first-round draft pick as a result of that. Just because he's not,
doing anything.
You never know. I mean, Dave Spihar is still a legend in this state.
Yeah.
And he didn't do much at the Gophers after his freshman year. So
White's numbers in the tournament weren't what Spihar's were, weren't what Casey's are.
I'll agree to you on that, but
this
for the simple...
little Duluth East troll over there.
For the simple point that anytime Pat touched the puck, it was electric. And the stadium got electric, and that's what Casey did this season.
Yep.
And so that's what was cool, but I understand what you mean. But Kyle Rau was the same way.
Yeah,
Kyle was the same way. Anytime he touched the puck in that Duluth East Eden Prairie game, it was like, he's going to score. And then he
got wrecked by Andrew Kerr.
Wow.
Jesus.
Okay.
Tough.
All right. Duluth East looked really good this tournament. Oh.
No, they didn't.
No,
they weren't
didn't.
In it.
Okay.
You go cry in a corner now.
Okay, well, let's talk about Class A now. The final, this was really Hermantown's to lose, and they didn't lose.
No.
They didn't crack. They came out early. Breck was the better team in the first 10 minutes, and then it was all Hermantown the rest of the way.
Yep.
You know, we've seen that in a bunch of Hermantown games, where the other team will come out, for one or two shifts. It's like, hey, they can skate with Hermantown. This is going to be a good game, and then... Hermantown just drops it, and they were just
so deep. Hermantown was so much deeper than Breck was, and that goal by Lindberg, number 23, that snipe. I was with my son who was at the game. He's like, "Dad, we were sitting right behind it. That was the sickest shot I've ever seen." From where I was, it looked good too. But wow, on TV, it was an unbelievable shot, and that was the backbreaker. 4.5 seconds left in the game. The first period was over.
It was just like Hermantown came out of the first period, now didn't have momentum for the early part, but left it with momentum. And like Les Larson said in the press conference, we just couldn't capitalize on our chances. They had good opportunities.
Yeah.
None of them hit the net. Yeah. And you're not going to win if you can't hit the net. And Hermantown wins 5-0, and it felt like 5-0.
Well, let's say hit the net, but I mean – it's one of the oddest, thing to say. I mean, how many saves did Luke Golson have? Which wasn't a lot.
No.
But there were some amazing saves. He came up with two or three huge saves in the first period that were pretty much the difference in that game. Koepke and those guys did their job, but at the end of the day, it was that tournament. If there was a tournament MVP for Class A, you'd hard-pressed not to give it to Luke Golson.
Yeah,
I mean, it was interesting because the Hermantown defense, I thought they were a little sloppy in back for the first couple of games. And
It's like
bored.
They're cakewalking.
You could say sloppy, I would say bored.
Yeah.
We're looking over at Litchfield going, these guys cannot skate with us for three periods.
Right, yeah.
It gets boring.
Well, they're the state champions. They're the state champions. They beat YZ in the season.
No.
I'm glad you said that.
I'm going to push back.
I did not say that.
They beat YZ in a throwaway game in December. No, come on.
I was
What did you say?
They beat YZ in a throwaway game in December.
Come no.
It was in November.
No.
It was YZ in November.
Tony and I were there.
And they won on a very, very questionable goal. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tweet.
Well, yeah, you couldn't. If you can't tweet, then you can't even see, right?
Yes.
No, I wouldn't call it a questionable goal. It was a goal. I mean, it wasn't. But
they proved
that
they could skate with the best team, the number one team.
That was an even game.
Yeah,
that was a total even game. That game could have went either way. It was a fun game to watch once I found a spot to watch. I like the conjecture that they're the best team in the state, and let's just leave it at that. Yeah. I'm not suggesting a playoff between the two champions or any of that silly stuff. It's fun just to talk about.
And
it's fun. I'm sure it's fun for people in Hermantown to, you know, nudge people and, you know, run into Bruce at the Walmart now and say, hey, you're the best team in the state. But at the end of the day, it's not worth even really discussing. I had 4 or 5 texts after my tweet yesterday. Are you kidding me? And I'm like, this is exactly the reaction I was looking for.
Well, it's the recognition that they deserve.
Oh. Yep. Absolutely.
So,
and the recognition because they do play a double A schedule,
and their youth plays double A as well. So,
I had a great text from a friend of mine. He sends me a text. He goes, and this is I will call this a Hermantown hater. It's a great text. He sends me and he goes, great. They play Squirt A tournaments all year and then go win the Squirt B state championship.
Basically.
Ooh, that's some hate there.
Yep.
That's
I didn't say it. It was just a text to me. I did not. That's not a quote from me.
I can't remember the all tournament team, and it might be in my pile of papers here.
We have about 500 papers.
But it was led. Here it is: Thief River Fall, Brendan Bushy, great player.
Yeah, absolutely.
66. Ethan Johnson, Ty Broughton, and goals scored in the season.
He's amazing.
He's good.
He is amazing.
Chase Ellingson, Mr. Hockey Candidate. I thought he played extremely well for Breck.
Yeah, I agree.
Justin Paulson. Great very facial hair.
Too.
Lyndon Olness.
The goalie for Breck.
Yeah,
he's
played
good.
Wilt Blake, great hat trick, great tournament. Cole Koepke, I thought he was the best player.
Yep.
Best
forward.
Best forward. Gotts, very
Goats.
Good. Goats, sorry. Good. Jesse Jocks also played really well.
Big Red.
Big Red, Shock Red. Luke Olson for Hermantown.
MVP.
Ryan Sandlin for Hermantown.
Awesome.
Have to have that whole top line on
there. And Wyatt Amont.
Best player in the tournament.
He's the best leader of the tournament, I want to say.
Player in the tournament.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Could tell, in the press conference that guy was
the game just looks – the Class A game just looks slow to him.
Yeah.
Like it was easy.
Yeah, Duluth's getting a – or not – he's not committed to Duluth. Sorry, but –
I think he's holding out for a better offer. Not from like the Gophers' better offer. I'm saying a better financial package.
Okay.
And that's only based on gut, based on an exchange I had with him and Perunovic in the down at the deck. It's like he wants to be a Bulldog.
Yeah.
Scotty wants to be a Bulldog. I'm sure they all want to be Bulldogs, but I'm sure there's only so many dollars that go around. And if he gets a full ride from Colorado College or somewhere, might. Who's the behoof of him not to take it?
Well, and you can possibly transfer back, too. You never know.
Avery.
Peterson. Right. Anyways, let's talk about the game that was probably the best final championship game in Class 2A that we have seen since the
2011?
Last time. Time Eden Prairie won. This was a 5-3 game. It was a 4-3 game.
But no one saw that last goal scored.
I can say I didn't. I was in the YZ student section trying to get the picture, and I'm like, what's happening?
Why are they stopping? Why are they trying to drop the
ball? Why are they putting their helmets back
on? The board.
It was weird.
Anyways, let's talk about this game a little bit into detail. I've never seen a team take a 5-minute major and score 2 goals, then with a 5-minute on the board against them. Never seen that. I mean, as far as top-level teams, I'm not talking about La Crescent versus Wadena here. I'm talking about top-level teams.
Why do we got to dig on those two?
Okay, Legacy Christian versus...
Danny. These are all hockey players.
Yes.
We love them all. Okay?
No, I'm kidding.
We love them all.
It's one of those things that you just don't see it in a game like that. Pat O'Leary took a timeout. mm-hmm. right after that, and it changed the face of the game. That was the best timeout I've ever seen taken. It was just good.
Hard to argue with that.
I mean, how much fun was the Hank Sorensen show against Casey Middlestead? That was fun.
It was fun to watch. I had a text sent to me after Hank drilled Casey on the first shift or whatever. It says, how does it feel that your two children are fighting out there? Your two favorite children. I'm like, they're not my two favorite children. They're just the two most entertaining players to watch. And they're entertaining for me, and it's obvious entertaining for everybody else.
Well, one of the best things is, so we ran into some old classmates of mine at McGovern's after the game, and they said that they were sitting behind the penalty box, and they did not want to tell us what Hank was saying in the box.
Yeah, we couldn't repeat that on this program. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. But, and Hank was this close to getting tossed from that game.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I know both of the lead officials, Bakke and Marcotte, and they did a great job in that game. I thought those were all good calls.
Yeah.
There's some of them were tough. I didn't think Johannes's was a 5-minute major.
No, and the other thing, I didn't think that the Graham check that led right away in the first period, where Graham circled and then got checked, and maybe I'm blanking. Maybe that was the Rapids game that happened.
Yeah, that was the Rapids.
I'm thinking of the Rapids.
Well, I thought Hank's check on Graham was a 5-minute for sure.
He got every minute of that.
I thought so too.
And then he called out Graham while he was going to the box. That was the best part.
Yeah, for laying there, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. I was saying after that period, it was like Slapshot. The crowd is yelling, kill, kill, kill. Yeah, this is hockey.
Yes.
That's what it felt like. And you knew that either one of these teams was not going to let the other team win without them feeling that they gave them every bit of it.
That's a good description, Danny. I mean, it was both those kids. Those groups just left it all on the ice.
Yeah, then in the third period, Wayzata really took over and started playing Wayzata hockey. I mean, the winning goal was, that's the style they play. Just cycling it around a little bit down low.
Wasn't a cycle. It was a completely, it was one of the worst clearing attempts ever. And I've tried to watch the film to call out the Eden Prairie player who did it, but I can't figure out who did it. Yeah. It was a right-handed shot. Just kind of weakly fed it back to the point, and it was just right on his stick. You know, and he just walked it in, and
that was
laid
created
on
by
there.
You know, a minute of pressure before that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, moments like that happened in the tournament. Mm-hmm. That happened. Cristiano Virtus got benched in the last St. Thomas Academy championship game because he couldn't chip it out of the zone good enough.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a Mr. Hockey finalist.
That happens. You know, I mean, it happened in the Eden Prairie Holy Family game. That's how they got that alleged go-ahead goal by Michael. Casey couldn't get it out. He tried backhanding out, and they held it in. So it's not easy to get that puck out of the zone. Sometimes you whiff on it, so this just happens. It's hockey.
Well, here's a kid that I want to give props to that we dogged maybe a little bit mid-season, Alex Schilling.
Yeah.
Oh, did he have a tournament?
Yeah, I don't remember dogging him that much.
I did.
Did you? I remember dogging on Wayzata, but go look at their scores. I mean, they got beat 7-0. I mean,
St. Thomas crushed them when I was there, and it wasn't even close.
I know. But I agree. Alex had a great tournament.
Mm-hmm. He played his way back into the conversation of the top senior goaltenders in the state.
Yep.
Deservedly so. Okay, let's.
And the thing I want to say about Wayzata is that. Yeah. Under 3 minutes left in that game, they were still playing their fourth line.
They did it Friday night too. Griffin Ness is a fourth liner, and he had the game. End up being the game winning goal.
I mean, that's confidence in your.
I think
bench.
Something should be noted. If we're going to talk Schilling, I don't think everybody listens to the press conference. Everyone thinks they listen to the conference. Yeah. They don't. And if they listen to our show, Casey Middlestead in his presser says Alex Schilling's the best goal in the state. Yeah. So I think that's worth noting. And before we move on, that's a really good line there. Yeah.
Well, and I thought it was for Casey to say that, for a first rounder to tell you that you're the best goaltender in the state, That takes a lot of props.
And we should address the Casey medal thing as well, too. So Casey takes the medal off and social media just because it's so sensitive. I mean, you can watch every move. Like, oh, Casey parted his hair to the left today. And like, it could be like, you know what I mean? Like that. It's just so silly sometimes to talk about the medal. So let's just address it. I didn't think it was the right thing to do to take his medal off. End of story. Let's talk about the other things that Casey did. He was a great hockey player this weekend, right? We all agree on that, right? He also went on Twitter and, you know, did his tribute or whatever and talked about, I wouldn't want to go to war with anyone else. But he also says, one of the sentences, I don't have it in front of me, I had to turn my phone off, but he basically says, Wyzetta, it was the champs and they deserved it.
Yeah.
He didn't have to say that. He could have made it all about Wyzetta. He could have made it all about the boys and all about this. No, he went out of his way to say how much he respected and deserved Wyzetta. So say what you want about the medal, but say what you want about it. Let's take it for the entire canvas here, not just one little piece of the canvas.
And I'll also give him credit for how he handled himself at the press conference, because when he came in, he was very emotional, and I thought we were in for a rough couple minutes, but he pulled himself together. He was very articulate.
A quote-unquote Carl Jake Randolph.
Yeah. That was the most painful thing I've ever watched.
But and the other thing I want to address, we've all been second place before in our life. We don't want to be it's the most humiliating thing to be on the ice, you know, after you got second place, to watch the other team take that trophy. You know, it's not where you want to be. It's the last place in the world.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. I never made it to the state tournament. I'd have killed to be a runner-up in the state tournament and watch some other team win the title. It's not the worst thing in the world.
Well, Carl and I competed in state in our own, you know, respect, you know, sort of thing. But I've been in, you know, teams that have lost, you know, in quiz bowl by 1 point.
Quiz bowl!
No, I have.
Danny's prop members.
But, I mean, here's the thing. It's the same thing. It's just like, well, you second-guess everything that you do, and you have to go home, and you have to be not first, and it sucks, okay? I've been a part of those teams, and it's not fun.
One other thing that I want to make sure that we mention on the show today is the Billy Duma goal changed everything.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Changed everything. And that was just critical. And both press conferences, we talked about it. And Billy gets absolutely no love anywhere, even though he's an Air Force commit. He's just so under the radar. He's a really funny kid and a great hockey player, and couldn't have into a better kid.
But that goal said, we're not done.
We're not done yet.
And you thought they were, because it was like, this is a team that's going to have to score 4 goals to win the state tournament.
When they
struggled to win and score 1.
Yeah.
And they did. And it was deservedly so. Quickly, the Class 2A, the all-tournament team was Bemidji. His goaltender, Matt Fitzgerald, played very well.
Awesome.
I voted for him.
Yep, me too.
Defense, Nick Leitner from Bemidji. Forward, Alex Pollock from Bemidji.
Deserved.
Very well deserved. For Alex Adams for Grand Rapids.
Very well deserved.
Mr. Comeback. Micah Miller for Grand Rapids. Oh, he was fun. He was a speedy. Speed. Jackson Cates for Stillwater.
Solid. Could have gone with either Cates.
Either. I think we voted for Noah.
Yeah,
but Jackson just is the same. Casey. Michael Graham, Nikki Lieberman, defenseman for Eden Prairie.
Definitely deserved.
Schilling, obviously. I thought he was the best in both classes. Grant Anderson.
Yep.
And Hammer.
Hammer time.
Hank Sorensen.
And no doubt about that.
Okay.
Who'd you say the MVP is? I would be between Sorensen and Schilling.
Casey.
Schilling.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
Casey.
Losing cause, sure. Yeah.
Casey.
Yeah, I would say so, too.
Because Casey was...
If you're saying most valuable, yes.
Yeah, he's the most valuable player on the ice, and Casey was. Mm-hmm. It's just like every time he touched the puck, everybody, you heard a gasp. Like, he's going to do something special, and he did every time he touched the puck.
And the only time you gasped when Hank had the puck or was near it was that he was going to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, Hank's play, and we love Hank. Hank is when the puck hits his stick, it's off immediately. He is dumping it somewhere. He's passing it. He knows what to do with the puck every time.
He is has a very, very high IQ what's going on out there.
Yeah.
And we focus on some of his antics a lot, but he's also, you know, he was matched against every team's top player
Yeah, he's Deion Sanders.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's Deion Sanders. He's the shutdown corner.
Yeah, he's primetime.
And he is primetime, trust me.
Okay, let's...
His press conference was primetime.
Let's talk about, for a couple minutes, the fun parts about the tournament that we really enjoyed. Definitely, signage was...
There's some good stuff. Signs.
The number one on number 11 in our hearts, or
number 11 on the ice.
Yes, that one was fun for Kate's. Carl?
What was it?
It's number 11 on the ice, yeah. Number one on ESPN.
Yes, that was
That's a good sign. Mine was, I liked, Hermantown had a sign, I'm Jesse's girl. I'm sure that's Jesse Jock's girlfriend. I like that one.
That was really good. Okay.
Another one I loved, one. From Wayzata on Saturday night, Casey Middlestat says, I love you on the first date.
That's so good. That's like Harvard-Yale. Yeah.
That's material. College game day material. That's really good sign.
That's really good stuff.
But, I mean, like, this was, it was a lot of fun to be up in the press box. The best press conference was Hank.
Not even close.
He just took over.
It was like someone gave him the keys to the car. He was like an 8-year-old with the keys to the car. I can drive now? Yeah, go ahead, Hank. Yeah. The tournament's over. Go for it. You could tell Pat was like, shut up.
But he was loving it, too.
Yeah, he was loving it. Part of it was like, be quiet. You're embarrassing me. He was embarrassing everyone except himself because he was just... There was a tweet, though. Great tweet last night. I had done something and someone tweeted back at me saying, do you get the feeling there's going to be a huge party at Hank's house tonight?
Oh, no.
Probably.
Yes.
Probably. Yeah. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, have a big party. I got one fun thing that I noticed. And so my son was in section or 220 or something, 200 something. So
who
I had to
got
go up
you
there.
Tickets.
Yep. No, it was a different night. Oh, but yeah, okay. you did get him tickets.
Ryan got,
yes,
my dad.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I had to deliver him some money because he had spent some money to get into the game between sessions yesterday. So I walked the hallway up there in section the 200 hallway. Oh my God, the yoga pants and the 13-year-old boys and 15-year-old girls just, and all.
It was hormone hell. Yeah,
oh my gosh, it was just the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, I could not get out of that. I took the stairs, so I didn't have to walk the hallway any longer. It was just dreadful for me. It was like, I can't be on this floor any longer.
Danny and I went down to the second deck before the Grand Rapids game Friday night
to see Tim
meet the Grand Rapids people.
Yeah, yeah. Tim, big
who we've had on the show
a couple
times. Yeah.
It was awesome to meet you. Carl and I had fun doing that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was like, this was the best story. There was a group of guys that surrounded a guy and a girl and just started chanting, kiss, 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 kiss.
Yeah, my son told me a story that there was two old people. Yeah, on the second deck or whatever.
Oh, no.
And they started chanting, kiss, kiss. It was an older couple. And they, of course, obliged. The place went crazy. They thought it was awesome.
God.
Yeah. But how many different sections were chanting about Edina last night, too? Yeah.
207, 216, 222.
Yeah.
They all got them.
Yeah, the old Rogue student sections was fun.
Here.
Yeah.
I was wondering why I didn't see a lot of Edina people in the building just to attend it. Maybe because they knew they were going to get roasted if they walked
their
through.
Their own safety.
Well, but, they'll be back. They'll be back soon, I would assume.
But you tend not to see them if they weren't there, and they weren't
That's
there.
That's pretty common.
Yeah. Well, you tend not to see Eden Prairie even if they are there.
Right. Absolutely. Ba-doom-boom. Yeah, their crowd, even last night, wasn't that strong.
No. Okay. You prepped that Edina is going to be here next year or the year after, sometime in the future, Tony.
There's too much talent in that youth association that it's just you'd never be surprised by Edina.
Now let's do the Conan O'Brien bit. In the year 2000.
Oh, that was one of the best segments ever. In the year 2000. God, that was funny. That was so funny. Sorry.
No.
Sidetrack there.
No. And so, in the year 2016, 17, let's prep next year. Next year's right around the corner.
I got my top fives.
Okay.
You want to hear them?
Yeah, let's hear top five, Tony.
All right, Class AA, you're going to just roast me all you want. Number one in the state, preseason, unless something dramatically changes, Minnetonka Skippers.
I
definitely see it.
Yeah.
Good. They were really good at the end of the year this year with a young team.
They just need goal scoring, and they're getting it.
Their Bantam team would be two years removed, won the state tournament. They beat Edina. Their Bantam team should, knock on wood, win the state tournament again this year. Couple that with a real nice junior class that they have, which will be now seniors. No one's leaving. People are moving into Minnetonka. There aren't a lot of spots available on this team, and there's five legit Division I caliber hockey players coming off this Bantam team going on to that team.
It's going to be 2010.
I'm just looking at talent. Talent-wise, sure, number one, Minnetonka, there's no one has more.
Yeah,
I would argue that.
Number two, Wayzata. They lose some senior depth, but they're, again, a real deep youth association. Pat's done a great job of keeping kids away from Breck and Benilde. I mean, granted, there's so much in Wayzata that there's kids that are playing Benilde. Like, you see Oldness, he was a Wayzata goalie.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about deep goalies. My goodness.
Stauber was...
Stauber, Schilling, Bischel, Oldness. I mean, they're all Wayzata goalies. It's amazing.
And none of them, you know, you can't all play on the A-team.
No, you can't all play on the A-team. It's amazing. So, all right, so I got Wayzata number two. This one might throw you guys for a loop. I'm going to go Holy Family Catholic at number three. And this is not official because there's so many comings and goings. You know, I mean, I think kids are going to be going to juniors. Some people are not going to. Some kids are going to make the U.S. development team. But I'm going to go number four, Elk River. So, Danny, this is going to go Danny going,
no.
This is the deepest section of the state.
It's rap.
There's three teams. This, if you thought it was strong this year, next year will be even stronger. Duluth East will be really good next year. Yeah. Rapids, I mean, granted, they lose Mitchell Mattson and Jonah and those guys.
Adams is a bigger blow.
What's that?
Who's that?
Who?
Mattson? Who?
Oh, Mitchell Mattson. Yeah, Mitchell Mattson.
Oh, Jesus.
Mitchell Mattson, Alex Adams. They're going to lose. They lose a lot of seniors, but I still think that their sophomore juniors are really, really deep. That's a group that won the state tournament as Bantams.
Yeah.
So that's a group. I think that that's a really good section. So I just got something. And here's one that's going to make Danny happy. And he did not twist my arm to put this here. I just think St. Thomas Academy was really young this year. Granted, they had some top seniors, but I think they're going to be super good. I mean, really, really strong.
Cadets fight. Carry on the blue and white.
So I'm going to go Minnetonka, Wayzata, Holy Family, Elk River, St. Thomas Academy.
I can't argue.
You can make
with
arguments
one of them
for most of those. Elks are a little high. Come on.
I just think they're really, really deep.
Who's going to come out of that section? And that section is going to be a bloodbath by the end of the season.
It's going to be just like this year. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And then you got Marshall and Cloquet. So Cloquet's Bantam team this year is one of the best.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they have a really good sophomore class. Look for Cloquet not this year, but next year to be really not next year, but the following to be really solid. Mm-hmm. Don't lose kids. These kids don't go anywhere.
They don't want to leave. No. And they want to be.
Who would want to leave that beautiful town with a paper mill?
That's right. All right, so Class A.
God, Carl.
Class A, here we go. I'm going Hermantown number one. That's shocking.
Surprise.
I think next year's Hermantown team will be even more dominant than this year's Hermantown team.
Kepke, but...
Yeah.
Loose Amont.
Yeah.
But still.
Their junior class is the team that finished second as Peewees in the state a couple years ago. They were consolation runner up as Bantams 2 years ago. It's a real good group, and they're going to be even better next year, I think. And then Hibbing, assuming Scott Prunovich stays and Ryan Ulan doesn't make the U.S. national team, they're the second best team in the state. Then it's Cathedral again, based on the assumption Keegan Carkey doesn't leave. Then Breck, and then I go number five at East Grand Forks. So Hermantown one, Hibbing two, Cathedral three. Breck 4, East Grand 5. Any thoughts on those?
I think we look at Class A, and it's more traditional powerhouses that are going to round out that field.
Yep.
And that's the way it is.
And again, so many comings and goings that we can't really...
Let's try, though.
Oh, yeah. We will definitely have a little speed round here. You want to talk about those? You want to talk about the top two eighth graders that I think are in question where they may be playing next year?
Ooh. I like that.
All right, so recruiting classes. Here's the two top eighth graders. What's that?
The blue chips.
This is two. I mean, they're crazy good. The first is Bobby Brink from Minnetonka. His dad, Andy, played both golf and hockey at the University of Minnesota. When he shoots the puck, it's like a beach, you know, I mean, it's like soccer net for him. I mean, he can shoot it. He shoots the puck so well. This year, during a game against Eden Prairie, he single-handedly killed a penalty for about a minute and 40 seconds. He just stick-handled the puck around. And now Eden Prairie won this game. It was one of the few losses of the year for Minnetonka. The Eden Prairie coach, Nico, is like, I just couldn't believe what I saw. And I've never seen that before. He basically just stick-handled through the entire team for a minute and a half, got bored, and eventually sent it down the end of the ice and got a line shift.
Oh, jeez.
He is that good. He played in our Bantam Elite League last year as an underager and was a top scorer for his team. Next kid is a kid named Matthew Gleason. He was our Pee Wee Player of the Year last year. He had hundreds. I mean, when I say hundreds of points, I'm not exaggerating. Hundreds of points as a Pee Wee.
Who is he?
He played for St. Paul Capitals.
Yeah.
I'm confused because it's been Highland Capitals for years. Now, no. St. Paul Capitals.
Oh, wow.
St. Paul Capitals, they changed it last year. So he played St. Paul Capitals. He played Bantams for them this year. Matthew was our Player of the Year last year. And it's been much, just, you know, if you talk about the private circles, private school circles in Mendota Heights and Highland Park and Egan and, you know, that area, it's like, where's Gleason going to school? Where's Gleason to school? Cause he went to Catholic school at Nativity with a lot of kids that ended up going to, St. Thomas. Yeah. So he's been to St. Thomas a couple times. They've made the recruiting pitch. I can't share them on air, but the recruiting pitches have been really great for Matthew Gleason. He's kind of he's a cross between, his dad's going to kill me for saying this. He's a cross between Jordan Schrader. He reminds me a lot of Jordan Schrader and Zach Parise, the way they played when they were younger.
What about
great skill, size? Great motor, and he's got that size. He's kind of a pint size kind of player. He's not a,
but that's a St. Thomas type.
He's
of
not
model.
A 6'4" Riley Tufte type. He's just got a, but he's got a motor unlike anyone I've ever seen. You know, he's just crazy. He was also allowed to play as an underager in our Bantam Elite League, and I can't tell you, every time I would be in the rink at Bantam Elite League, I get a text from some scout, because the Brink and Gleason both got fill-in jerseys, so we just had this blank 44 jerseys. Hey, who's 44 on the Flyers? I'm like, that's Gleason. He's like, Oh, okay. That's why he's so good. Cause he stood out. He's playing with kids that were a grade older and he stands out completely. That's how dominant these two can be and will be when they get into high school. I think they both can play as ninth graders, top six. I think Bobby could play top six for Minnetonka even next year. He's that good.
That team. Yeah.
Well, to touch on St. Thomas stuff like that, Tony, is like St. Thomas and Creighton families trade a lot back and forth. But I think
it's kind of like St. John's and St. Thomas at college. It's like flip a coin, right?
Yeah, sort of thing. So a lot of I graduated with a lot of Creighton families that sent kids then to St. Thomas. We don't tend to see it go the other way, though.
Yeah, St. Thomas kids don't go to Creighton, as we're saying.
Yeah.
St. Thomas families don't?
Yeah, but it does happen. And then we'll lose kids after freshman year that will go to Creighton then. Like, they don't like St. Thomas for various reasons, and they'll leave to go to Creighton. The St. Paul kids that grew up going to St. Joe's or Nativity, they'll then transfer back over to Creighton. And that's common. We had at least two or three in my class.
His brother, Matt's brother, Johnny, was a varsity skater for Creighton this year.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the probably lures. Plus, the familiarity, and so many of those Nativity kids go to Creighton.
Yeah.
It's just such a feeder school, so... I would expect to see him in a Creighton uniform next year.
Right.
That would be my claim, as he'll be there.
Well, and Jim O'Neill might not be there for a while.
There's lots of speculation about Jimmy being gone. Who knows?
Yeah, so because he's been there for 35 years. Forever.
Forever.
Yep.
Okay, now let's do, this is going to be fun, speed round. The Clash had a good song one time that said, "Should I stay or should I go now?"
It's still a good song.
It's still a great song. Okay, Tony, are you done with the paper?
Yeah, I am done with paper.
Carl, pass it over to me.
I made a nice list of...
Have the paper, Danny.
Yay.
Of players that people would want to know if they're coming or if they're going, and I'm going to make my statement on where I think they'll end up next year.
I think we got to start off right away, Casey Mittelstad, Eden Prairie. Where's he going?
He'll be at the University of Minnesota next year.
Okay.
Really.
Okay.
And this is based on, not because... he and I golf together like many people allege. This is based on a conversation I had with him at our Player of the Year announcement, and he talked about what he's doing to accelerate his studies. He's working on it. That means, and he he thinks it'll be done, and I think he'll be accepted in the University of Minnesota, and he'll attend school there. But again, that doesn't mean he's going to finish that. It doesn't mean that I'm not making a statement. That's Casey's statement to make. I'm just basing it on what I see and what I hear.
All this is somewhat conjecture.
Yep.
And so we just want to put that out there. We're
absolutely
not making the decision for Casey Middlestad right now.
Okay.
Clayton Phillips.
Gone.
Edina.
I think he's gone.
Man.
I think he's gone. I'm not sure that no matter what happens in Edina, if Kurt, because there's been lots of rumors that Kurt might be taking a job at the Iowa Wild next year.
Oh, really?
So that could open up a new coaching thing. If there was new coaches, maybe Clayton would come back. And I'm not saying he's got a problem with Kurt Giles. I'm just saying that, you know, I think he wants to move on and play in the USHL.
Yeah.
Well, he's been benched before for stuff.
Well, and he's played forward. I mean, he doesn't want to play forward.
So,
you know, so
anyways, moving on, he's committed to the University of Minnesota, Clayton is. Blake McLaughlin, another Minnesota commit.
He will stay.
If not, where would he go?
He could make the U.S. national team. He was one of the 11 invited on Thursday or Friday. I still don't see that. I think he's staying in Grand Rapids, especially after what Trent Clack did yesterday. Brought him onto the ice and gave him his medal.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
His line.
I mean, I don't have video of it, but I read it somewhere. I'm like, that's pretty cool. I'm pretty sure that happened.
His lineman, Gavin Hain.
Staying.
North Dakota commit.
He could make the U.S. development team, but again, all speculation is he would stay at home and
try to win it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jackson Nelson.
That's a good one. I don't think he'll be playing at Laverne next year. Just based on his body type, he's got that NHL body, and the job for the U.S. development program is to develop NHL draft picks. And so he has a very good chance of making the U.S. developmental team in a couple weeks. And if he doesn't, I would suggest within 30 to maybe 45 seconds after he doesn't make it, the St. Sioux Falls Stampede would tender him to play there. It's 15 minutes away. So that would be my guess is those two places for him. Laverne would be the last option, and no offense to Laverne.
Yeah.
It's not the spot for him to develop.
He did everything that he could this season. He set the all-time record in goals in 78. I mean, in one season in high school hockey, that's outstanding.
Yep. He's made a statement that high school hockey in three single A is not a spot for him to develop.
Don't say that. That is a
ooh,
a
did
special...
I just flame the message board, 3A guys?
Poor Redwood Valley.
Oh, Ben Brinkman, Tony.
I think that Ben can make the U.S. development team. Just decides if he wants to move away at 14, 15 years old to Michigan. I would bet that he would stay in Edina and play football and baseball and hockey in Edina. That would be my guess.
Okay. He's a good player. And if he does stay, he'll be one of the top defensemen that we'll talk about next year.
Yeah, turning the program down is a really hard thing to do.
Yeah, and I think Minnesota got a really good recruit out of him, whether he stays or goes, sort of thing.
Yep.
Yep. Zerbin out of Elk River.
Just based on history, the Zerbin family, I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up playing in the NA. I don't even know if he's good enough to make a USHL team. So.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if he just left for even the, like, MJ, you know.
No, he's better than that. He's an NA.
Yeah, he's an NA.
He's
an
NA quality talent.
Well, where's his brother playing? Where's Andrew playing?
No,
he's playing in the NA last time I checked.
Yeah. I have no idea.
He made it back to the U.S. at least, but
yeah,
okay. He's floating back and forth between the two.
Well, Ryan Elk Rivers wasn't on the list, but Perbix.
Perbix is on the list.
Yeah.
I don't think I don't think he'll make the U.S. national team. He's one of the 11 invited.
Notre Dame commit.
I think, you know, the fact that he gets to play next year, with that group of juniors and seniors that he's just been buddies with, he's played with. I mean, this is the prime for him. I mean, this is prime time is playing with that group of 11th and 12th graders next year. I don't see him going anywhere except Elk River next year.
Ryan Paley. I gave you a good one there.
Boy, I've heard so many Ryan Paley rumors. It gets to the point where I can't keep up with them all. I would say Ryan Paling will be in Lakeville next year.
If he's in Lakeville, is he the Mr. Hockey Award winner?
Mm.
That's what Scotty says.
Way too soon. Way too many comings and goings yet to do.
And speaking of which, Scott Brunovich.
I would say he's a final five for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No doubt about it. He's a man-child. I mean, he is an absolute man-child.
Well, we should probably prep. By the time you're listening to this, Riley Tufte will have won.
Yep.
Mr. Hockey.
Mr. Hockey.
That's happening in a few minutes.
Yeah, about 20 minutes from our taping,
Yeah, so.
By the way, it's being taped. If you're listening to this and you want to watch an archive of it, you can go on our website. And
what website?
YouthHockeyHub.com.
Yep. Okay, Perunovich, Carl said, where's...
I would say he'll stay in Hibbing. And just based, I've talked to the Cedar Rapids people, and they want him to come, but they're fine with him coming a year later.
Sure. I think...
Because there's no doubt, just based on his body, he's going to have to play a year of juniors mm-hmm. just to mature to play at that high level at UMD.
I talked to a Hibbing kid at the tournament, and he's like, I'm a senior. That was my last game, but I just wanted to win for him. He's the most unselfish player that I play with.
I've never seen anything like it in my life.
He's like, he hates the score. Absolutely hates the score. And it's true because he's got like 7 goals and 55 assists. I mean, he's the best.
He will score if he absolutely has to.
But he doesn't want to.
Nope.
No. And he is the most creative defenseman that we'll see. He's just a lot of fun.
Yeah. Shout out to the most obnoxious mom I heard all year long this year. The woman at the Hibbing semifinal up in Adams Oil. Just yelling at Perunovich the entire time. Stop being such a puck hog, Seven. It was awful. It's ridiculous. It's like, do you know anything about hockey? Obviously not. But it was the most painful thing to listen to. She was just going at him the entire game.
And she was a Hibbing mom?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's bad.
Well, clearly that was the one game that she chose to go to that year. And she knows who you are, Carl, because everybody recognizes your voice.
Absolutely.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
How are we doing on that list? We got a few more?
We got 3 more. Sticking with the Lakeville North theme, Henry Annabeck.
I think they're a package. I think
if one goes,
they could end up in British Columbia. They could end up up there playing in,
Penticton.
Penticton or, any of those teams in the British Columbia. They could end up in the USHL. They could end up at Shattuck. I could just get the list of potential places the Palings and Annabacks could go. I heard another one that they could end up in Richfield playing for the Magicians before and after. I've heard everything. It's hilarious. So who knows what's going to happen with those guys. That's why we don't make top 10. I'm very weird about my preseason top fives March because it's just
this
too
reason
many
I don't
come
do these things until October.
Carl, there's no way. For me, I do it just to... get people to visit our site. Oops. Great secret.
Okay, talk about the Canadian angle, Sammy Walker. His brother's played in the W. He's committed to Minnesota.
A lot of these things have to go based on options, right? Mm-hmm. So what options does Sammy have? He could go play on the USHL, maybe, right?
Yeah.
His body is not built for it. The best option for him... And he definitely doesn't have the body for the W, right?
No.
So I think his best option is to play top line, Edina High School. He's going to be on the first line. He's going to get, if Kurt's the coach, he's going to get a ton of minutes and a ton of points. He's going to develop. He's going to have to probably play a year of juniors after high school anyway. He's only a 10th grader by rule. He's only a 10th grader. Yeah. He's really 11th grade age. Mm-hmm. So he's got 2 years of high school hockey to play. After that, he can play some juniors, and then he can go to the U. I think he's got really no options. He could play in the USHL, but I don't think that's the best option to play on line 3 or 4 in the USHL. It just doesn't make any sense.
No, and talk about the body that makes you need for the W. Last year, I went to the Wild Developmental Camp. I saw Jared Bethune for the first time out of War Road. That kid was thick. Yeah. And it was just like, wow. I thought he was a small little guy, as Kobe Roth was.
Right.
No. He's a man.
Yeah, he was very, very good. Last player that I can think of, the Hammer, Hank Sorensen.
I don't think he could ever be in a better position than he is at Wisetta High School. So there's no possible way. I'd say 99.999 sure that kid is staying at Wisetta. If you watch that press conference, you could see that that Pat O'Leary and Hank have a relationship. I don't,
a
you know
special
what I mean?
Bond.
There's a bond between those two.
And that can't be easy.
No, no. And he's found it. Hank's been a lot of different places.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the place for him. What happens after this next year, that's up to Hank and that's up to Dale. But I think there's no doubt that kid's coming back.
Well, okay. Hank was the happiest person I've ever seen.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, like, he leaves the press conference. He slapped everybody's ass, like, on the way out. Every coach. And then, like,
he is this throwback of the all throwbacks. That's why I like him so much. He's a
ranger.
Who he is.
He is an Iron Range type
right
of
in,
player.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd fit right in to anybody from there.
As long as we're on the topic. You know, I didn't get to ask this question at the press conference. I'd love to ask him. What is it about de-cleating Alex Schilling after every
yes.
big game? I mean, I've got a picture of him form tackling Schilling after the end of this game. I mean, I'd say Alex Schilling's greatest adventure wasn't stopping Casey Middlestat.
No.
It was getting form tackled by Hank at the end of the game. It was unbelievable.
Twice, yeah.
And the Cretan game he did it too.
Yeah. So that's kind of the list that we have. I don't know if you guys had anything else to grab or throw in. Tony, what do you
got? I just want to say thanks to you guys having me on this show. It's been a blast doing this year.
No.
I really enjoyed the opportunity.
I said to myself at the end of last season, if I'm going to, you know, if this show is going to be really good, it's got to have you guys, both of you on it. And I can't thank you guys enough. And especially the people who listen, it is funny getting spotted and stuff like that for the people listening, and we appreciate you listening, but really, you guys, I appreciate this immensely. We've had a lot of fun with it throughout
the whole
season.
It's been great to do this every week.
Yeah.
Banter back and forth for a while, and thanks to our listeners, too.
It's like, I tell people, like, it's an hour long. I'm like, just imagine eavesdropping on three guys having a beer talking high school hockey.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
And we make some mistakes, too. And our apologies to anyone who makes this. I have my final apology would be
let's do some final apologies.
Hill Murray. I was really hard on Hill Murray this year, and I think I know lots of guys that are coming into on the east side that will be going to Hill Murray over the next 3 or 4 years. Beware of Hill Murray. I'm telling you now. They have some of the nicest players coming into their program, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th grade kids that are going to be – that team will be back. Be careful, Stillwater. That team will be back.
My last apology has to go to Farmington. I remember I thought that first win over Lakeville North was a total fluke, and I said on the air here, you know, when we're getting ready for the second meeting, it'll be Lakeville North by 5. No, Farmington
wrong
won again.
Then
won again in sections and
yeah.
looked decent in their first round game against Stillwater.
Yeah, they did. Oh, yeah. I thought it was an even game.
Yeah. So, the Tigers.
I'll apologize to my family. I went to 72 games this season. You know, I talk about hockey a lot with them. And so I guess I'll apologize to them. I don't see a lot of my brother's games then. So, but yeah, they're supportive. So thanks.
All right. Well, that ought to do it for another year, another podcast here. Yeah. Thanks, you guys.
Yeah. This has been Cold Omaha's High School Hockey Podcast. Check us out online at coldomaha.com. And thanks for listening.
Hey guys, this is Tom Schreier, co-founder of ColdOmaha.com. Thank you for listening to the Cold Omaha Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and leave us a comment and a rating. Also, don't forget to check out ColdOmaha.com to see all of our podcasts and read articles about your favorite teams in the Twin Cities. If you have any suggestions or comments on anything related to Cold Omaha, email us at editors@ColdOmaha.com or follow us on Twitter @ColdOmahaMN.